This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, October 18, 2016. The Gloucester Times reports that starting November 1, smokers under the age of 21 will no longer be able to purchase cigarettes, tobacco, or electric in the town of Rockport. Dr. Sidney Wedmore, chairman of the Rockport Board of Health, is quoted as saying, "Rockport is one of the 100-plus cities and towns in the state of Massachusetts that have adopted the age 21 minimum to purchase tobacco nicotine products regulations." Gloucester adopted similar regulations in June, Essex in April. Dr. Wedmore is also quoted as saying, "Evidence shows that by raising the age of access to tobacco to 21, the result is a greater decline in the number of high school students and other young adults that take up smoking, become addicted, or become lifelong smokers." The Rockport Town Board of Health considered data from the Centers for Disease Control, the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, and other sources before voting to adopt the new regulation. The board is comprised of experienced healthcare professionals, including two physicians, a former director of epidemiology and research at the state health department, and a dentist. Some neighbors in Revere are second-guessing the police response strategy on Sunday involving the SWAT team. Bill Newell has more on that story.
Rick, residents of a Francis Street home in Revere, the site of a standoff that lasted several hours on Sunday morning, are questioning the necessity of the police response and how it was carried out. Gayla Colley writes in today's edition of the Daily Item of Lynn, "Residents identifying themselves as Muslims from Morocco claim they were treated unfairly by police and dispute that a 911 call came from their building. Amin Kahale, 26, thinks neighbors called police for no reason and claimed the neighbor has told the man and his housemates that he doesn't want Muslims living on the street anymore." On Monday, Revere police released a recording of a 911 call that prompted their response to a multifamily residence at 22 Francis Street. The caller reported at 4:30 a.m. Sunday that he lived at 22 Francis Street and that there were shots being fired inside his building in Unit 2. The caller further stated that he had to go back into 22 Francis Street and get his child out. Police reported that attempts were made to call him back, but he did not answer. In a statement released by Revere police officers responding to the 22 Francis Street incident, they reported an odor of burnt gunpowder. As police attempted to contact the occupants in Unit 2, the lights were turned off, and people could be seen moving window curtains to try to shut them out. Police said that they made numerous attempts to get the residents out, including knocking on doors and using a loudspeaker, but the occupants refused to come to the door. Following the standoff, police said the apartment was searched and a search warrant was executed. The search yielded no weapons, no arrests have been made, and the incident is under investigation. I'm Bill Newell for MSO News Sports. Rick?
All right, Bill, thank you. Ariana McNeil writes in the Salem News that in Beverly, the Franco-American Club stores remain closed as the state's Alcoholic Beverages Control Commission has suspended its liquor license indefinitely. The club received a suspension notice last Wednesday due to its failure to provide a list of its officers each year and for changing its officers without notifying the state. During a hearing last Tuesday, an ABCC investigator showed that the club has not provided the documents required by law from 1987 until now, according to the notice. The closure is just the latest installment in a series of issues for the club that surfaced in the past year. The club's liquor license was suspended for 2 days in June due to illegal gambling following an ABCC investigation. The club was almost auctioned off in February when a bank initiated foreclosure proceedings after the club did not make mortgage payments. Bridget Turcott writes on itemlive.com, students at the Johnson Elementary School in Nahant got a cool look at Antarctica on Monday afternoon. Thanks to modern-day technology and a strong relationship with the Northeastern University Marine Science Center based in Nahant, the children took a virtual trip to the southernmost continent. Harry William Dietrich, professor of biology, chemistry, and marine biology at Northeastern, and Val Perini, outreach instructor at the Marine Science Center, led a conversation between the students and Kathleen Shuzdock, a Northeastern co-op student working at Palmer Station via Skype. Palmer Station is a United States research station in Antarctica. It's the only station located north of the Antarctic Circle. Dietrich had been studying how climate change and warmer waters affect fish embryos since 1981 and has been working at the station since 1983. He takes the 5-day voyage to Antarctica yearly. Candidates running for Essex County Sheriff recently debated at Northern Essex Community College. Republican Ann Manning Martin was asked about the $70 million annual budget and how to manage or make the sheriff's office more efficient.
The budget is speculated at $70 million, but what you need to remember is that it really has only been budgeted at $55 million for the past several years. Back in 2010, when there were 9C cuts, there was a lot of layoffs, and the legislature has been budgeting that pretty much just above level funding for the last several years. So they've gone in for supplementals, multiple supplementals, to get to that figure of $70 million. So to get to reduce a budget, we need to cut down on recidivism, and we need to implement data-driven programs, evidence-based programs that work, collect data, and implement programs that work in other areas. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. There are plenty of programs out there that focus on job skills training, focusing on criminogenic needs such as education, homelessness, mental health, and substance abuse. When we address those issues through programming in our houses of correction, we release people into the community with reentry plans. And most importantly, we ensure that we work with the police departments, the chiefs, probation and parole to follow up with community supervision. And the sheriff's department should act as a liaison to provide that post-release supervision so that folks stay out of prison, they get treatment in the community as to not recidivate. When we do things like that, we provide a cost-effective, well-run, budgeted institution, and we cut down on recidivism, and we save the taxpayers money. And that money, just if we just reduce recidivism by 5% across the state, we save millions and millions of dollars. And that money could be better spent on substance abuse and mental health in the community where it belongs, treatment programs in the community where it belongs, so that we can keep folks out into the community and provide them the services that they need so that they don't reoffend and come back into the system and therefore continue to increase the budget. We need to reduce recidivism by providing programs that work.
That's GOP candidate Ann Manning Martin. Meanwhile, Democratic candidate and Lynn Police Chief Kevin Coppinger also responded to the Sheriff's Department budget question.
I've had extensive experience with multi-million dollar budgets as Chief of the Lynn Police Department. For 7 years, I've been personally responsible for that budget. I can tell you honestly, I've never overspent it, never had to go back to the council to ask for more.
There's plenty.
Oh, I can answer. I think the first thing that I would do as the new sheriff would be to take a hard look at how things are done, starting with a complete audit from top to bottom. Obviously, we'd audit the financial aspect of the sheriff's department budget. $70 million is a large number. That's taxpayers' dollars. I've had extensive experience with multi-million dollar budgets as chief of the Lynn Police Department. For 7 years, I've been personally responsible for that budget. I can tell you honestly, I've never overspent it, never had to go back to the council to ask for more money. And I know how to spend money efficiently and effectively with positive results. So if you do the audit, you want to see if maybe there is waste there that we don't know. So we need to bring in professionals to look at the budget, look at where the money's spent, but equally as important, we need to look at the efficiency of the programs that are ongoing now at the county jail and see what the results are. See how much money you're investing in it, and what the end result is. We've already talked a lot about recidivism. We're all in agreement. We want to reduce that number. So that's the ultimate goal. What comes into the jail is in terms of the individual status. You want to make sure when that individual is going back to their community, they're going to come back as a more productive citizen with a better chance not to recidivate. So start with the audit, see where the money's spent. If there is waste, identify it, correct it, and take that money and put it into a better program or a more effective area where you're going to get more efficiency out of it, and again, with the goal of reducing recidivism and making public safety a higher priority in each of our communities, because it's those taxpayers that are footing the bill for this, and we want to give them the most bang for their buck at the end of the day.
Kevin Coppinger, candidate for Essex County Sheriff, speaking at Northern Essex Community College. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.